Health Matters. Health Matters.
Well, what's the difference between a bacteria infection and a viral infection?
A viral infection can predispose you to getting a bacterial infection.
Each week, we address health issues, talk about treatments, prevention, and ways to stay healthy.
Coronary artery disease is the most common form of heart disease in the U.S.
When do you consider using a stent versus conservative care?
Brought to you by Integrated Rehabilitation Group, physical and hand therapy clinics throughout the Puget Sound area, where you receive excellent care with exceptional results. Now your hosts, Maury Eskenazi and Shannon O'Kelly.
Well, I know you're listening to us right now. You're kind of depressed, as I am. But it's a good hour to get away from football talk. Maury Eskenazi, Shannon O'Kelly, Tom Lafferty. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Maury?
You know what? I'm slowly getting over yesterday.
Should we talk through it?
You know what? I've listened enough. I've talked through it. Game, for God's sakes. There was injuries, and of course, we're Health Matters. We talk about medical stuff. So I have a question about Richard Sherman. He needs Tommy John surgery. I thought, and Fish today on his show was talking about Richard Sherman, Tommy John surgery, and he said, I think he mentioned that there is different Tommy John surgery for football as it is baseball. Is that true or not?
Oh, I don't know about that.
Didn't he say that, Tom?
Well, no. What I said, I read a quote, is he'll come back fairly soon because he's not going to come in for three innings of late inning relief.
Right. No throwing.
Well, that's the difference. Yeah, that's exactly it. I mean, a pitcher is going to take more time to rehab because he has to return. He has to throw. Where Richard Sherman, they're just going to stabilize that. Again, a Tommy John is a tear of the ulnar collateral ligament on the inside of the elbow.
Right.
And they'll just repair it. And because it's his left side, he'll come back. I mean, he'll be back next season. I mean, like Tom just said, he's not a short reliever.
So you know. I had a moment today where I feel old already, but I was talking to some guy and he had no idea who Tommy John was.
Yeah, there you go.
And why is the surgery named Tommy John? And I just
You had to educate him.
Kind of shook
did
my
you
head.
Say, hey, you should listen to Health Matters?
Yeah, I did. I actually did educate him.
Good.
I told
good.
Him. We have a guest right off the bat here. When it comes to beating heart disease and stroke, change can be the cure, and to save lives and raise awareness of this issue, the American Heart Association launched Go Red for Women, and the red dress has become the iconic symbol of the battle against heart disease and stroke in women. Joining us from Western Washington Medical Group is Dr. Jason Talavera. He's a cardiologist, and thanks for coming on with us.
Yeah, great to be here.
So, of course...
You didn't ask him about your broken heart for the Seahawks, though.
Yeah, we talked outside. Right. We talked outside here.
He's already done his counseling.
It hurts. It hurts. Tell us about some of the heart issues that women face as opposed to men.
Well, I think the important thing to know is that each year about 1 in 3 women die of a heart attack or stroke, and that's heart attack being number one and stroke being pretty close. The way that heart disease presents, it actually is the same in both men and women. The only thing is that usually women have a higher proportion that present with atypical symptoms. So for example, instead of the classic chest pressure or heaviness of the chest typically with exertion, this might present in, let's say, an older, smaller woman as perhaps nausea, perhaps heartburn that's exertional. And so knowing that heart disease presents differently in different people, and really each individual is different. So there are some men who present with atypical chest pain, and the risk factors for having some of that are diabetes, and perhaps gender, age differences. So there's really a lot of different things that influence kind of how the presentation of coronary disease will manifest.
Yeah, and it's only been, it seems like it's been the last maybe 5 years or something that you are starting to hear more about women and heart issues in women. Because, typically it was always the male. I mean, it was the overweight smoker, non-active male. And now all of a sudden we're talking about younger women. Is it because we're just more aware of gender differences? Are women looking at their hearts more and going in for cardiac appointments or upgrades or whatever what are you experiencing?
Yeah, so typically it's always been that the premenopausal woman has been protected from coronary disease. However, increasingly, as we have younger and younger men presenting, for example, men in their 30s, sometimes even their late 20s presenting with heart attacks, women, it's also progressing. The cardiovascular disease is progressing to show up earlier in women as well. And I think it is very shocking, and I don't know if many of our listeners know, but one in three women die of a heart attack or stroke. I'm sure that's a shock to many.
Yeah, that is a fairly significant statistic.
And you said younger. Is that because of the diet? Is that in the United States as opposed to around the world, the one in three women?
Yes, it is in the United States. Diet does play a significant role in coronary disease, and almost up to 80% of coronary artery disease is preventable. You just need to take the right measures. Stop smoking, slow and gentle exercise. And the role of exercise is really to help us see when you're having symptoms, and it's sort of the earliest sign. So if you say, hey, I used to walk with my wife or with my husband a mile a day, and now I have difficulty walking half a mile a day, that's a clue that something is going wrong. So exercise really is a way to give us a precursor that something is happening before you come in with a heart attack or cardiac arrest or even death.
What about stress? I mean, you know, we talk about stress, and it used to be we talked about type A versus type B, and type A males were, you know, set up for heart problems. I mean, are you finding type A, type B women and women in the workforce and taking care of the household and just the amount of stress they have in their lives?
That there has been increasing stress, you know, throughout the population. What we've found is that typically older women are presenting with stressful situations. There's a entity called stress-induced cardiomyopathy, or because the severe either emotional stress, death of a loved one, or a anxious or a very maddening situation, patients can actually have a weak heart as a result of that, because you get all these markers released, and it can cause weakness of the heart. So that specific entity, stress-induced cardiomyopathy, has been on the rise throughout the United States.
When you say older women, what age are we talking about?
Yeah. This may present in women in their 70s and 80s, but can present in women as young as 30. But typically, this stress-induced cardiomyopathy is seen much more frequently in women than in men.
So let's define cardiomyopathy, because I think it's important that when you're talking about cardiomyopathy, you're talking about heart muscle. You're not really talking about circulation. So this is not a vascular problem. This is a weakness in the muscle tissue?
That's absolutely correct. So cardiomyopathy just means weak heart. And so when your heart squeezes, instead of having the normal squeeze, it will be, and usually normal is above 55%, it would be something less than that. But typically with this entity, stress-induced cardiomyopathy, given the appropriate medications, this usually corrects itself with the medications over time.
And if you have cardiomyopathy, I mean, and the heart muscle fails, is that defined, is that a cardiac arrest or is that a heart attack? I mean, is there a difference there?
Yeah, so let's define a couple things. Cardiomyopathy is the heart muscle, and that can become weak, and that's a cardiomyopathy. Now, what causes the cardiomyopathy depends. In some patients, it's blocked arteries. In other patients, it's either drugs or toxins that can cause this. So whenever we say there's a weak heart, there's also, so what's the reason behind the weak heart? And that's why we do different things, different tests to sort of examine that.
And that's kind of what your job is as a cardiologist. I mean, is your specialty diagnosing these problems and ordering tests and looking at results of those tests?
Absolutely. So, yeah, a lot of patients come in for chest pain, shortness of breath, palpitations, abnormal heart rhythms, atrial fibrillation, congestive heart failure. These are some of the common reasons that patients will come into the office: fatigue, dyspnea. And our job is to now, once patients come in with those symptoms, try to figure out exactly what's going on.
And there, and you have a repertoire of tests, and there are several tests that you can order based on, obviously, as a physician, your primary focus is a history and physical, signs and symptoms. Then you're going to make a determination of what best test to use for those conditions.
Absolutely. And we're very lucky in the field of cardiovascular medicine to have many different testing modalities and different tests to try to give us different answers. There's been a lot of investment of research into medications to either make the heart stronger or make someone live longer. And so the patients are the benefits who are able to come to the office and see us for those problems. Absolutely.
We had a heart transplant patient
on
with us.
Right.
That had it. How many years ago was it?
About 25.
About 25 years ago.
Yeah, the field of cardiology has really progressed significantly over the last maybe 10, 20 years, because as a cardiologist, there's subspecialties, and there's electrophysiology cardiologists that really work on the electronics of the heart, if you will. And then your specialty is, are you more in the radiological reading x-rays and CTs and angiograms and things like that?
Yeah, so the field of cardiovascular medicine really has kind of separated into about four different fields. For example, first you have the general cardiologist and really the non-invasive cardiologist who really is adept to all the different imaging modalities to try to diagnose exactly what's going on. Then you have the interventional cardiologists, who are the ones who are able to put a stent in or able to put other support devices, and that's the field of interventional cardiology. Then you have electrophysiologists who specialize in the heart rhythm and arrhythmias, and the last and sort of newer are two others, actually. One would be transplant cardiology and heart failure, and the last would be adult congenital heart disease, which is patients who have had abnormal hearts from birth and have been treated successfully as patients in the pediatric world, and now as they become adults need to be treated appropriately for their problems that they take into adulthood.
And your specialty is interventional cardiology?
My specialty is non-invasive cardiology or cardiovascular imaging.
Okay.
Where we have multiple different modalities to try to diagnose a problem.
And let's talk about those modalities that you can order.
Sure. So the first modality that many patients that come into the cardiology office have are echocardiograms. And an echocardiogram is usually done in a hospital or in an office situation where you lie down on a table and an ultrasound probe is placed on the chest. This doesn't involve any radiation and doesn't hurt at all. And it really gives us a lot of insight into, some of the things we're looking for is, how does the heart squeeze? What's the ejection fraction? How does the heart relax? What are the effects of having high blood pressure over time, and is the heart thickened? What are the heart valves like? What are some of the pressures in the heart? So it really has had quite an evolve. It's evolved quite a bit over the last 50 years.
And these tests are for men and women, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
And so the first test you usually have is an EKG or an electrocardiogram,
right,
where you look at the rhythm of the heart. And then the test that we just reviewed was the echocardiogram, where you're able to see how the heart squeezes, look at the valves.
A little deeper in there.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely.
A general echo, I mean, you're just looking at it through ultrasound, basically, imaging. Do you ever do anything where you would inject dye during an echocardiogram? Is there any need to contrast, basically?
Absolutely. I mean, there has been so many advances in the field of echocardiography. When we inject, if we do not have a good visualization with the ultrasound probe, then by injecting dye, we are, and this is no radiation, this is actually microbubbles. That are in, or micro gas particles that are injected, and you can see the blood layer versus the muscle layers, and everything is just very well defined. It's
technology.
Pretty amazing.
Okay, so when do you throw them on a treadmill and put little probes on?
Yeah, no, that's great. So then you have a couple. So if a patient's coming in with what you think is what it sounds like, chest pain or chest pressure, or these atypical symptoms that we also talked about that are very important, there are a couple other options. We can do an exercise treadmill where you just get on the treadmill. We could do an exercise echo where we do a treadmill but then also get an echo at the same time, mm-hmm. and see if the heart squeezes better with exercise. The other thing we could do is inject you with some dye. It does involve a little bit of radiation, but we're able to see the blood flow to the heart and see if there's a lack of blood flow in one in a specific region.
Yeah,
as I think everybody needs a little radiation occasionally, right?
Yeah, especially after yesterday, right?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's fantastic information. I mean, if someone wanted to get a hold of you and had some questions regarding their heart history or cardiac problems, how would they get a hold of you?
Sure. The best thing to do, I'm a cardiologist with Western Washington Medical Group, and we're with Northwest Hospital, then UW Regional Heart Center. The office number is 425-225-2700. I'd be happy to take care of any of the listeners that need any.
Excellent.
And I think you could just Google Western Washington Medical Group, and the website will show up there, too.
It is February. It's Heart Month.
It is. Dr. Jason Talavera, thanks so much for coming on with us. We're breaking right back after this. It's Health Matters, brought to you by IRG Physical and Hand Therapy, right here on Fox Sports 1380.